This section of our study is really intended for you to have more fun with than anything else. I have included three movies for you to look at, three little animations, and I've included them in two different formats. Hopefully one or the other will be compatible with the computer that you're using. One is mitosis, that is ordinary cell division, very well described, although I'm afraid those who have not studied biology in much detail or who have not studied it recently might find the technical terminology a little bit off-putting, but just notice the basic sweep of ordinary cell division. And then in the movie on meiosis, that is the cell divisions that take place in order to produce germ cells, the cells that eventually produce spermatozoa or oocytes that produce sperm or eggs. This is reduction division that transforms a cell from diploid, having twice as much genetic material as it needs, to a haploid state, having half the genetic material it needs, so that those two germ cells, a sperm and egg, can combine and create a new individual. There's a movie on genetic diversity that highlights something mentioned in the meiosis movie, and that is two particular events, crossing over and independent assortment, which really are the whole point of this discussion, and that is that there is a scientific basis to describing eugenics as completely fallacious, as a pseudoscience, and not only because of the moral horrors that it entails and the very dubious prospect of actually being able to eliminate characteristics from the human race simply by preventing certain individuals from having children, but there's a much more fundamental problem, and again, we'll talk about the movies again in just a moment, and they're really for you to look at and reflect on, so that you can understand that there is inside every cell, that is, at every moment when germ cells are being produced, there is within nature constantly a reshuffling and a resorting of genetic material, which is effectively the opposite of what the eugenicists attempt to force, and that is to say the concentration of particular characteristics in particular populations. And so if we just look at the text which I've written here, a fundamental fallacy of eugenics is the assumption that it would be a good thing to select out particular characteristics and then selectively breed for them. And then as we've seen, this would be done by positive eugenics, that is, enforcing or encouraging specific unions. Or by forcible sterilization, or enforced methods of family planning or contraception, which is to say by negative eugenics. And we've also noted that both Galton and Darwin had employed the metaphor of breeding animals. You know, who would be so foolish as to not breed the better animals with one another? And I also mentioned that some of the historians of eugenics have pointed out that it's intriguing that those who support eugenics almost never end up describing their own social class as being one that should have any restriction on its breeding practices. The advocates of eugenics are mysteriously always among those who should produce more children. But as genetics itself, as the real science of genetics, and also the sciences of ecology, of earth science, and the study of the actual existence of a variety of species on Earth gradually began to develop, it became clearer that the evolution of species is due not just to natural selection, not just to the survival of the fittest, but is in fact deeply dependent upon genetic diversity, on the fact that there are a whole variety of different kinds of any particular species, and that this diversity must exist in order for the species to survive. And this diversity is created within the cells on a regular basis through the processes of within meiosis, through the processes of crossing over and independent assortment. It is also ultimately the result of spontaneous mutations, changes in the DNA strand, which very often result in chemical changes in the peptides that are being produced that ultimately become enzymes, but most of these are unsuccessful. However, this constant creation of diversity within nature is going on with inside our very bodies. And so one can look at it and say that within nature itself, there is something like the opposite of eugenics in the sense of eugenics trying to force particular traits into a small group. On the contrary, our bodies are constantly flinging wide all the diversity that we have inherited from our parents and from our grandparents. And if you drop down then in this text to the fact that there are going to be two particular mechanisms that are emphasized here, number one, crossing over, and number two, independent assortment. Here again, use the videos as you like. You might find the terminology a little bewildering, but notice the points, particularly in the video on meiosis and where it's mentioned, although it goes very quickly by, in the video on genetic diversity, the means and the points at which this what I've described as flinging wide or recombining takes place. Number one, in the phenomenon of crossing over, what happens during this preparation for meiosis, in this beginning of the cell divisions that will reduce the number of chromosomes to half the number, there is this very strange and astonishing moment when the chromosomes actually intertwine and exchange material with one another. So now suddenly there is within the germ cell, that is the cell that is going to become a spermatozoa or an egg in the male or the female, there is something new, something that had not existed within the parent cell and represents a combination of something that comes from the mother on the one hand and the father on the other. So there is this remixing, this intermingling of materials that have come from previous generations, and it is not consistent. That is, it doesn't happen the same way each time. So there, this crossing over, this creation of a new kind of chromosome, is itself a form of creation of variability and diversity. But that's not all. When the chromosomes line up for the secondary divisions that result in these lesser numbers of chromosomes, they do this in a way that is highly variable and results in not the creation of identical sperm cells or egg cells, but on the contrary, of utterly unique ones, different probably from any other cell that could be created. So there is within ourselves this tendency to create diversity, not to focus down on particular desirable, so-called desirable characteristics. And I mentioned in the text and have mentioned before that human efforts, whether in animal husbandry or in agriculture, to create new species or new strains of plants or of animals, invariably create things that are more either aesthetically appealing to human beings or more useful to human beings, but which, if one looks at their overall characteristics, are generally not superior to that which was created because of the process in nature which is creating improvement by creating incredible and complex diversity and then inviting, not forbidding, but inviting the intermingling of this diversity to create that which is new and adaptable to a new environment. So in many ways, the scientific basis of genetics itself contradicts many of the aims and purposes of the eugenics movement. So again, play with those videos that I've included and allow yourself to get a sense of how this diversity and complexity is constantly recreated at the cellular level with the creation of every sperm and egg.